Hi guys,
welcome back to the Unraveling the World podcast. So in this week's episode, we wanted to talk about the history of art therapy. So I just wanted to first cover the history of it and how it came to be before it obviously became modernized. So art therapy began in the around the mid 20th century, mostly in European countries, and it was first introduced to psychiatric asylums, where it was shown that if the patients were given painting utensils, they were able to get their thoughts and feelings out, and it created a positive impact of how they were recovering from trauma and also dealing with their own psychiatric issues. And obviously, since then, it has been more modernized and it has been adapted to how we are today. And it has also been more accessible in the sense that obviously art, you can create art with anything around you, not just in the traditional, obviously you have your painting supplies, but art is also through music and through cooking and through so many other variations of what is considered art. And obviously in the modern age, it is people without even knowing have constantly created art and are always using art to kind of release their emotions. But yeah,
and adding on to Ishani mentioned a lot about the history of art therapy, and I wanted to also talk about the religious factors. A lot of ancient civilizations, people in Egypt, Greece, and China, they used art in ritual ceremonies and healing practices. And for example, in Egypt, temple walls were adorned with hieroglyphics, and in Greece there were a lot of art involved in medicine and philosophy. And a lot of people also stress the importance of music and drama. And art is a very general term, and a lot of people think it's just related to physical art, but there's a lot of other forms of art, like Ishani mentioned, such as music, drama, and cooking. And this kind of transformed from the history. Right now, in the mid to late 20th century, art therapy gained recognition, and there are actual studies proving the benefits that it has on the brain. And I also wanted to bring up a point about in my psychology class in school, we're doing something called a happy museum, and we basically research some topic that makes people happy. And a lot of my classmates are doing topics such as cooking, art, painting, drawing, and it changes your chemicals in your brain, because it kind of pushes specific parts of your brain to perform a different way. So it enhances your cognitive thinking and different parts of your brain, and it affects your day-to-day life and the way you see and perceive different subjects or different things you learn.
Yeah, so another a point in history that I wanted to bring up related to art therapy was that in 1969, there was the American Art Therapy Association, which was founded in Louisville, Kentucky. And they basically this group of organizers, they kind of promoted how art, information about art therapy and its relationship to mental health and education, to kind of make it more defined. Because obviously in the 1960s, just obviously mental health was very stigmatized. We've covered mental health in our past episode. So yeah, mental health was very stigmatized, but in relationship to mental health, just getting therapy for it and receiving aid to help get your emotions out and learn about yourself, that was even more stigmatized, to the point where people would decide to just keep all of their feelings oppressed within them. And art therapy, these group of people who created the association in 1969, kind of promoted people to being more supportive to a lot of these people who kind of were not seeking aid. And they also regulated the mental health profession by giving people who were artists and stuff a way to get profession, to get occupations and working careers. And I think just to talk about that feelings aspect, I know that a lot of people, my mom, she she's an autism teacher, so basically she like helps a lot of students with who have autism, and she talks about how like she a lot of like a lot of students when they have art class, they're able to like just mix with a lot of paints and kind of they have free range to do anything. And during bring your child to work day, I actually like I went in with her, and during their art class, like I was able to see how all of these students kind of work with different mediums. Like they were given glitter, they were given glue, they were given obviously like the basic coloring supplies, and they were basically able to produce anything that they wanted. And they were indirectly were able to like get their feelings out, because obviously they have autism, so they're wherever you're on the spectrum to a certain degree, you're unable to like get across what like your feelings and stuff like that. So it was very like interesting to see how they were able to bring their thoughts on paper in the non-traditional way. And I think like I feel like that is, even though like I didn't know it at the time, like I started researching art therapy much later, but that's what the kids were doing. Like that is a form of art therapy where you're able to like use colors and use like different mediums to produce what's going on like inside of you. And it doesn't, art therapy also doesn't need to be like that deep to the point where like you have to like sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil with the intention of getting your feelings out. You can just, a lot of people just draw, you know, and even that is a form of therapy. Like I know, just to talk about in regards of myself, like I have with my, I often like color, and obviously coloring is like, oh yeah, like in kindergarten people used to do that and stuff, but I've seen that for me, like just coloring like intricate like designs and stuff just helps me, because I'm able to like focus on just staying within the lines. And I think like that has helped a lot of people. And just to tie into what I began talking about, like the Art Therapy Association, that is what they promoted for so long, and I think that association is not talked about, or like a lot of people don't know about it. So I think it's interesting how like their impact, even though it was like a small organization, it like created a lasting impact even in the 21st century.
Yeah, and I wanted to add on to Ishani's point. She talked a lot about self-expression, and specific famous people in history, they've gone through really low times, and they've used art as a coping mechanism. And I wanted to specifically give examples of this. And one example is of Holocaust survivors. Art therapy played a crucial role in helping Holocaust survivors cope with their traumatic experiences and memories. And through artistic expression, they were able to honor their experiences and find strength in the times or in the memories that they've gone through. Another example is like a Frida Kahlo. She was like a Mexican artist, and she used her artwork as a form of self-expression. And she actually went through a severe accident. Specifically, she had like a bus accident, and as a result, she faced a lot of health challenges throughout her life, but she still continued to persevere and continue to make artwork. And her vibrant paintings often depicted her physical and emotional pain, which kind of shows us how art is a form of an outlet and a source of empowerment, of showing how you feel and letting like loose of those emotions.
Yeah, and also I kind of wanted to talk about how art therapy, like a lot of, I think when you think about art, like people obviously think of these really famous like painters and artists and stuff. And I think a miseducation within this topic is like you have to like produce like art that is like good or like very like I don't know how to say it, but like very like, you know, something that other people also find like pleasing. And I think like art therapy kind of promotes the idea that like it is kind of detaching from the traditional purpose of art, which is to like you know, like to be in museums or like to have like a deep meaning and stuff. And I think that like that's not true at all, you know, like art can be like something that you produce just for yourself, and it can be something that like only has meaning to you. Like, the whole purpose of art therapy is to kind of get your feelings out and be able to signify something to you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like something that's so amazing. So another thing that I wanted to mention about art therapy is that there is a lot of research and innovation that has happened in the field. So there, a lot of scientists have observed how art therapy is used to treat trauma, abuse, grief, anxiety, and eating disorders, and it has been a very helpful tool to even get rid of stress and through like major life transitions and stuff. And obviously, like I've mentioned, how art therapy, like, it is used to treat people who have like been through like very severe like life experiences. But I also want to say that does not need to be the case. Like, it can, someone who has been through a lot, like obviously art therapy can help them, like help them. But if you're someone who feels like something major has not happened to them, you don't have to stay away from art therapy, you know? Like, there's also been research to show how art therapy has like encouraged personal growth, mindfulness, and self-discovery. Like, obviously there's like, people talk about like meditating and yoga and stuff and how those things can help like calm the mind, but art therapy can be used for like to promote the positive things that you already have, not to just treat the negative things. And I know in health, like last year when we took health, we would like learn about like kind of severe, like very like very deep topics. And at the end of class, my teacher would like, we would always have like color pencils and like little coloring coloring papers in the back, and me and my friend, we would always just go end up coloring there, and we would never end up finishing the coloring paper. But it was just like, after covering like deep topics about like addiction and abuse and stuff like that, it was like very nice to kind of get, not intentionally, but it would end up like making us more stress-free and get our minds off of what had just been covered. So I think like that's just an important point to bring up. Like, you can start coloring, and you can like just begin to color when you just feel like you need to, not necessarily when something really big has happened, you know?
Yeah, and I mentioned before about how art therapy stimulates the brain, and I kind of wanted to talk about that because I think that's another important factor. A lot of people, even if they don't enjoy art, that's why a lot of schools sometimes give specific times to kind of de-stress and like do coloring, even in high school, even though people don't consider it to be like a high school activity. It's a way to like de-stress and relax. And I wanted to specifically talk about how it impacts the different parts of the brain. And it actually stimulates like different neural pathways in the brain, which promotes neuroplasticity, and it enhances cognitive function. And when you're expressing or creating art and expressing emotion, it activates people's brain regions, and it involves a lot of emotional regulation and stress reduction, which in general obviously leads to improved well-being. And overall, art therapy just promotes like a powerful way to positively impact brain function, which is why a lot of people choose to implement it in their everyday activities. You know, doing work 24/7 is obviously a stressful task, and by doing something de-stressing like this activity, it actually improves like parts of your brain. And not only does it make you a less and a more mindful person, but it also makes you conscious about other activities that you're doing in your day-to-day life, and it just makes you a better person and promotes positivity in your life.
Yeah. Another thing, I feel like another positive that comes out of art therapy, I feel like, is like, I know when a lot of people don't necessarily have the means to like being like kind of afford like the traditional like one-on-one therapy sessions that that we've seen in like obviously real life, but also like in TV shows and stuff like that. So I think using art therapy, like just going in your house and finding maybe a journal, and like you don't even need color pencil, like you just need a piece of paper and like a pencil, and just like drawing, or like as I said, like art doesn't necessarily have to be like painting and like drawing. You can also like write down everything that's been on your mind, or like about the future. So you can like you can take these simple steps to ensure like a more healthy and conscious mind, where like therapy doesn't need to be very expensive. And I know that that's one of the main reasons people are not able to get the help that they need. So I think like if you are thinking of like if you do struggle with mental health, and or even if you don't, like even if you feel like you just have a lot on your mind right now, I think just like reaching for a paper and pencil and just like being able to kind of connect with your right side of your brain a bit can help you kind of get control of your feelings. And obviously when you are drawing and when you are being more artistic, it stimulates the right side of your brain, so you're able to be more creative, and you're not pushing down that side of your brain and constantly being like logical or like trying to have like a step-by-step like routine constantly to like get in control of whatever's going on in your life. So like art therapy kind of promotes that, and I think being able to do that before you reach for help if you do feel like that's what you need, but I think this could be like a very good place to start. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think today we covered a lot of topics. We talked about the history of art therapy. We talked about how it specifically changes your brain. And I think in general, like things you can do is just like implement it in your daily life, because art therapy is a form of just spreading positivity in your life. And I think overall, we talked a lot about ways you can implement it in your life as well. So Ishani, unless you have anything else to add, I think we've concluded the episode for today.
Yeah, we did. All right. Bye.
Bye.